Welcome back to the Woodbury Report. This is Lon Woodbury. I'm an independent educational consultant in North Idaho. And if you are interested in interviews of this sort that I put, or articles about struggling teens, resources for struggling teens, therapeutic boarding schools, wilderness therapy, residential treatment centers, it's all there on the strugglingteens.com. It is May 20th, and I have on the line John Allen. John, welcome. Good to have you here.
Well, I appreciate being on your show, Lon.
Okay, well, John is the author, or is an author, of A Splice of Kindness, also a songwriter, and I don't know if you want to throw a little bit about that, if it seems appropriate as we talk, that's fine too. But tell me, what's kindness? What do you have in mind by kindness? Because in talking to you before, it sounds like you have a little bit more sophisticated view of what it is than just the simple what we generally think of as doing some kindness to somebody or an animal or something.
Yeah, well, to me, as I've researched these stories, there's always been like this pivotal moment where somebody has needed either an encouraging word or some support and just a show of love. I think with kindness, it's just like being, a lot of it, I think, Juan, is just like you're in tune to the other person and maybe it's not like a cookie cutter type situation, but it's just like if you're interacting with somebody, you look at that person and you try to get a sense of, you know, where they're at and what they need, and then say something that, you know, you feel would be appropriate, or do something, or just show like give a showing of support. And I think kindness is just very individual. You look at the person and just do what you think is appropriate for that situation.
Okay, sounds like empathy is a large part of it, just empathy with the person. And I suppose it could be anything from just a cheery good morning to somebody you see on the street might have an impact, because I think what you talk about is the impact that these have on it, that's your stories, to helping somebody out when they're in a jam, or even if you see somebody that's standing by themselves and don't know what to do in a crowd, go over and say hi and try to make them feel at home. That'd be an act of kindness.
Yeah, and, you know, a couple of things come to mind. One is he's from your home state, Idaho. Is Philo Farnsworth, the man that invented television back in the day. He, at a very young age, you know, he had all these scientific ideas, and he went to his father and said, "I got this idea for a radio tuner." And the father wasn't scientific at all. He was just basically a farmer, and he said, "He thought, I don't understand what my son is saying, but I do believe in him, and I know this is important to him." And so rather than maybe scoffing at it or dismissing it, he said, "You know what? Let's do it." And he got them, and he wasn't a rich man, but he got enough money to get a patent attorney, and he backed him 100%, and that really meant a lot to Philo. The rest of his life, he realized that he had an ally in his father, and his father showed support to him, and that really meant a lot to him.
Oh, yeah. So even this is, you're talking in terms of what parents can do for their kids. It's above and beyond the call of duty, I guess.
Right. I mean, there's another one. We've all heard of Oliver Wendell Holmes, Supreme Court Justice. In the book, I talk about Oliver Wendell Holmes Sr., and he started his education in college to be a lawyer, but then he was drawn to medicine, and then he wanted to devote his whole life to medicine, and also he was a poet, so he sort of had a dual role. But he went to his father and he said, you know, he was in going to the Harvard Medical School, one of the best ones in the country, and he said, "I want to push it a little bit further, that they're doing some great things in France. Could you support me financially to study in France?" His father was a minister, and it wasn't wealthy again, but he said, you know, he thought about it. He said, "If this is what you want, let's do it." Mm-hmm. And so he supported his son. That move, when he went to France, he came in contact with a professor, Louis. He taught him these four principles, and one of them was just to question the status quo, and then to analyze things as thoroughly as you can and do research. These basic principles, when Oliver Wendell Holmes came back and started practicing medicine, he was instrumental in solving. There was a problem called the childbed fever outbreak, and this actually happened before the theory of contagion was widespread. And Alderman Holmes just said there's a few things we have to do, and we have to, you know, be more sterile. Basic things like washing hands, which back in that day, that wasn't considered that important of a thing to do. They didn't understand the germ theory. But so he was instrumental in saving thousands of lives. And you go back to the father who supported him and said, yeah, you can go to France and study. And I think just to go back to that bit of kindness, and look at the outcome. That's great.
I think one thing you talk about the book is the ripple effect. Sometimes you can do something and it has a powerful impact on one of your students or a friend of one of your children or something like that can have powerful impact. Can you think of a case or two that you've got the full story on in that?
Yep. One is personal. I was one of the struggling teens in junior high, where my first 2 years in junior high, I just was struggling. I wasn't getting good grades. I was getting into a lot of trouble. And the first ripple effect aspect is I thought, okay, I got my third year in junior high. I'll just deal with it. And my mom looked at the situation and said, we have to get you in another school. I didn't understand. I thought, well, why? What's the point? She said, you need another fresh start. And so she was able to get me in another school, and you know that right there, that helped a lot. And then there was an English teacher named Mrs. Edwards that up to this point I'd been getting like C minuses, D's, bad grades, right? And she saw something in me, and I wrote a report on a book like on my first day, and it really startled me. And then she kind of took me under her wing and just sort of helped to develop my writing skills, and you know, Lon, more importantly, it really improved my self-image. And from then on, I was a whole different student. And you know what? Like we were talking about before, I don't know if I never told her the impact. And she's not here. She's not alive anymore. And mm-hmm. So, you know, she would never know. But she really did change my life. There's that. And there's one other one that. There's a story of a woman whose family, they were sharecroppers in Alabama. And sharecropper, you know, in the book I talk about how sharecropping was basically like slavery. Officially it wasn't, but when you looked at it, it was basically they worked for slave wages and they couldn't get ahead. Mm-hmm. And they were cotton farmers. And she had this idea, and she went to her family and said, we need to move up north. And specifically, we need to move to Cleveland. And the husband looked at her like, there's no way. I mean, if you don't know anything about that type of lifestyle, we're sharecroppers. But she was persistent. She said, there's something there. We need to do it. So they go up there. And their life really didn't improve a whole lot. And the husband really didn't get any great employment or anything. But the ripple effect was she had a son named Jesse, and he was able to meet up with a coach named Charles Riley. And Charles Riley saw something in Jesse. And Jesse was very frail, skinny kid. And Charles Riley took him under his wing and said, you know, I'd like you to join my track team. But it's not going to happen right now. But why don't we work for a year? For 1 year, Charles Riley would take Jesse an extra lunch just to get some meat on his bones. And after a year's time, he said, okay, now we're going to start on track. And here's the thing, Lon, is that was Jesse Owens.
What you're talking about here is probably a basic of what it's like to live like a civilized person or live in a society. And a lot of people have to have this attitude in order to have a civilized society. Otherwise, it could be pretty bad. Is that part of what you write about or have been thinking about in writing this?
That's exactly it, yes. And it's just like the main, you know, you get that little bit of help from somebody, and it can change. Well, in Jesse Owens' case, it changed history. And the great statement he made against Hitler in the Olympics, you go clear back to Emma Owens' decision. It's like, we're going to move. I just have this feeling we need to do it. Little did she know, you know, what was going to happen.
So if he had stayed in the South, he would have probably never heard of him.
Never, yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Okay. Well, I appreciate this, and the book that John Allen's the author, that my guest. The book is A Splice of Kindness, and it points out in through stories about how being a kind can have just doing an act of kindness, simple, major, and some of them you talked about as major, can have a ripple effect and outstanding type of consequences. So it's very important. Important for it. I think it's a good message. John, would you tell how if somebody wanted to find out more about you or about the book or ordered the book, how would they go about it? How would they contact you?
Well, I have a website, and it's simply johnstarryallen.com, and the book is on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and it's in most bookstores you can probably find it too. So,
okay, that's A Splice of Kindness. And a phone number or email?
Email would be, again, just johnstarryallen@gmail.com.
Okay, well, very good. Well, we've been talking with John Allen, author of A Splice of Kindness, and also a songwriter. I guess that's going to have to talk about that another day. But thank you very much, John. Good to have you here, and good to hear about your book, and I hope it does well.
Yeah, I appreciate being on your program. Thanks, Juan.
Okay, well, this is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report. We've been talking with John Allen, author of A Splice of Kindness.